Require that you read from verse 1 to the end for clarity. It is the instruction that Paul the apostle gave to the church. Instruction for you, instruction for me. So I've titled this message, Instruction for Practical Christian Living. Somebody say that with me. Instructions for Practical Christian Living. It is not enough to profess to be a Christian. It is not enough to say that I'm a Christian. It is more than that. Christianity is a way of life. How you live your life is more important than what you say about yourself. It is more important than what you say or who you say you are. We have instruction for practical living. How do we live? In that chapter of scriptures, I was able to identify 30 practical instructions for living. But I will share a few of the 30. The first one I will pick is in verse number 2. You ought to know how to live. You ought to know how to order your life and your destiny. Let me show you something. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 1, from verse 1 through to verse 5. And I'd rather have you give it to me in the Message translation. Proverbs chapter, I want you to pay attention. These are the wise sayings of Solomon, David's son, Israel's king. Verse 2. Why was it written? It was written down so we will know how to live well. May you live well. To live well and right. So the book of Proverbs, as well as other scriptures, are written for us to know how to live well and how to live right. To understand what life means and where it's going. We need an understanding of what life means and where life is going. The reason for many failure in our age is because people do not understand the meaning of life, neither do they know where life is going. Particularly very many young people. And many times, if you do not quickly know where life is going, if you don't know the meaning of life and where it's going, you live your life carelessly or recklessly. And when you now get to an old age, reality will dawn on you and regret will set in. I want to pray for everyone here present. At the end of your life will not end in regret. I thought they would say loud amen. So it is important for you to grasp this manual for living so that you can learn what is right. So number one, in this passage, Romans chapter 12 is in verse number 2, where Paul said, renew your mind. Very crucial to all other instructions is the renewal of your mind. Like I told you from verse 1, there are so many instructions, but I'm picking a few. Everything rests on the mind, your heart. Everything that happens in a man and with a man, it usually starts from the mind, your heart. Everything. Sin starts from the mind. You conceive it, then you hatch it. You conceive it, you incubate on it, you ruminate on it, you think it through and through, then you act it out. Every good thing also starts from the mind. And that's why the Bible says you should guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let me tell your neighbor, guard your heart. No, tell him, let him hear, guard your heart. Tell another person, guard your heart. So the Bible says you should do it with all diligence, because from this heart flows the issues of life. You have to keep your heart diligently. keep it, protect it. Don't allow anything to fly in or get inside to distort your view or distract your attention in destiny. See, that's in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Guard your heart. There are some gates into the life of a man: his eyes, his ears, his mouth, and of course your heart. All these things enter through and they go into the heart and lodge there, and they either determine either your success or failure. Again, I pray for you, you will not fail. So the renewal of your mind helps you to know and to do what is right. I'm going to share some of these instructions that are contrary to human nature. I'll show you very briefly because of so many things that we have to talk about. Number two, I'm just running them through. In verse number three, Paul said, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you," underline the next sentence, "not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." So I put in my note number two, don't have an exaggerated opinion about yourself. Don't have an exaggerated opinion about yourself. It is one major problem with our age. Now listen, life, people want to feel good, to feel big, to feel important. Even as a gate man, I want you to recognize I am important. I can turn you back. I can say, "Oh, guy is not at home. And what are you going to do?" You must recognize. Everybody wants to be recognized. And everybody wants to feel important. Yes, it's okay. It's normal. But the Bible says, do not have an exaggerated or bloated or balloon opinion of yourself. Keep your sanity. It is possible we think too highly of ourselves many times. And that's why we tell people, "Do you know who I am?" If you have to tell us who you think you are or who you are, then you are not who you think you are. Does that make any sense? If you have to tell us who you are, then you are not who you think you are. Don't you know I am the head of this family? Head, don't need announcement. I am your head. I am your husband. Maybe you did it in your ignorance or when you are immature, in your immaturity. You don't have to say it. Show it. Show us that you are the head. Can I pray for all men? Stand up if you are a man. I'm not talking about boys, though. You better stand up even if you are a boy. But you know you are a man. Everything you need to be the head that God has made you, you won't lack it in the name of Jesus. I thought your amen will be louder. Amen. Listen, men, I'm praying for you. You won't fail in your responsibilities. Please, let your amen be loud. Amen. Nothing, keep standing, oh men. Stand with me. Nothing is as frustrating as a man not having what it takes to be the head. That is where you need announcement. Don't you know I am the head? Hey, you don't even need to announce it. Just show it. What will you need to show it? Wisdom. What will you need to show it? Money. What again do you need to show it? Money. Your wife will ask you for money. Listen, I don't know if it happens only to me. If normally I don't confess negative, so I tell my wife, I'm rich. You know, I'm rich. She say, "You are even trying. God will provide." Having said that, should she ask me for money again? She will not come back as, and so we need so. But I just told you. So she does not expect that you, they don't expect that you don't have. Your children, will you tell them I don't have? You won't tell them.
So that's why I'm praying for you. You better let your amen be loud. If I'm praying for women, you will see the way they shout amen. This one, you are just shouting amen as if you don't understand what I'm talking about. You won't know shame. Amen. When your wife is asking you, is it how much your mates are giving to their wives? Well, women, never compare your husband to some other men. Is it how much your mates are giving to their wives? I will ask her to, hey, bring it, let me change it. If you give me, go and collect it from my mate who are giving to their, and carry your load and go to their house. Go to the house of my mate. Am I my mate? Am I their mate? Am I not me? But having said all this, I am praying for all men standing and those who are watching. Everything you need to be the head, to be the man, the position God has put you, may heaven provide it for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Women, help us clap for our men. And amen. Thank you. Sit down. So don't have an exaggerated opinion about yourself. Don't exaggerate who you are. Let me give you an advice. Let your result exceed the fame. Let it exceed your fame. Let your result exceed your fame. Exceed your fame. Let the result you have be greater than what people are saying about you. That was what the queen of Sheba said when she came to visit Solomon. She said, half of what I was not told, half. The things are, now some people, you will hear so much about them, and when you get close to them, you will realize that they are paperweight. They are nothing. So you are now disappointed that I've heard so much about this person. It happens to churches. It happens to organizations. People have heard so much about our church, and if they come and they do not meet what they had, or what they see does not match up with the standard of the things they had, they get discouraged and disappointed and then disappear. Your business. And that's why you don't go and do bogus publicity and people now come there and they don't meet anything. Somebody say, yeah. Don't have an exaggerated opinion about yourself. I won't talk about this one, but maybe number three, love genuinely. You see that in verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. In other words, love people genuinely. Love does not have a reason for loving. If you ask me, why did you and are you loving your wife? I don't have any reason. The moment love has a reason, it is no longer love. It's a condition. There are conditional love. Because maybe you, when you are seeing just getting married, I love my wife. She's beautiful. I have told you before, beauty migrates. If you marry a woman because she's beautiful, I can tell you for free, you don't need to pay consultation fee, that beauty will migrate. After a while, beauty moves from the face to the heart. If you are not good at art, then you are not good. So if I marry you because you are beautiful, when the beauty now migrates and goes where it should be, finally, what do I now do? I change wife. That's the reason why many people are changing wives. The one you just changed to, the beauty will soon migrate and leave. She won't be this beautiful. Young lady, you won't be this beautiful forever. Iwaniko, improve. Improve your character. Character counts. It is the greatest beauty you can see in a woman. The beauty of character. The beauty of who you are. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? You are not talking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you agreeing that I should do something about it? It's your most beautiful beauty. Your most beautiful beauty, if there's anything, is your character, attitude. Attitude. So love must be unconditional. And that is the only way why our church can grow. Our love must not be conditional. If I love this elder because of what I get from him, I am a user. I am not a lover. If I love you for any condition, I open my eyes, I just love you. But there is a reason. What happens the day that reason is not there? Bad things happen to good people. If I love this young man or I love this woman because she's okay, she has a good job. I'm looking for you to laugh with me. You are not laughing. That's why I'm just laughing. One brother called me. No, he came to visit, to see me. He was trusting God for who to marry. Then he said, sir, I don't know if you have any of your daughters who has maybe British or American citizenship. He said, because my destiny is connected to this global, maybe UK, maybe US. So I want to know if you have any daughter that... So you now know why I was now laughing. Ode. User. May you not fall into the hand of such users. If he follows you to America or to UK or anywhere, he will leave you there and run after those who are there, who are looking for somebody to come and just... Don't marry for condition. Love must be without dissimulation. Love must be genuine. I don't even know why I'm loving. If our love is genuine, I will offend you, you will forgive me. If it is not, does your wife not offend you? And don't you offend her? But why are you still living together? You love her unconditionally. That is what love should be. So he said, let love be without dissimulation. Let love be without deceit. That's how to live. And that's what our political leaders don't have. They don't have no love. They love you when it is election period. And because of anger, you will collect your 10,000 naira. 10,000 that cannot buy 10 liters of oil. And you vote for them. Well, whether you vote for them or not, I don't really cuckoo know. But your vote brings them to power. Well, I don't know. Let me not say what I don't know. Now, number 4, in verse number 10. Please, promise to read this book. Read it. It says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Preferring one another. So, prefer one another. This one is very contrary to human nature. Our nature as human is me first. Me first. My family next. Others, God be for them. But Paul says, prefer one another. In other words, if there is one seat to sit on, I should prefer this man because he's just 5 months older than me. Sit down. I should give him that privilege. Prefer this other person. It's a Bible culture. It is also an African culture. It's a Yoruba culture. I'm sure it is Igbo culture. Don't let me say, I'm sure. It is also Igbo culture, I think. Your culture, Abi? No, because Igbo brother, they greet their daddy with Ansh, Abi? Not be so children. Has it changed? Well, damn alone. It's not like that. It's day, good morning. Day, good morning. That's Igbo. Igbo said, day is my brother, Abi. Senior brother, day, good morning. He just bow. But yo, but we do the dobale. Abi beko. Only dobale. Kinu ema dobale o. Imeno. Praise the Lord. What number what are we? What is the point? Prefer the other person. prefer that other person. Love, prefer this person. It is practical Christian living. It is the life of God. It is contrary to our human nature. It is called human nature. It's me first. I want to sit down. What's my own? If he doesn't have a seat, what's my own? Let me sit. You could see this woman is pregnant. She's pregnant. She's holding her waist. And you are dragging seat with her. You get small issue. There was one, I think 50 seconds video that went viral. No spoken word in the video. Nobody said anything. There was an elevator and people were in. And one young boy with headphone rushed in and he put his leg to where the elevator, so he entered. And he entered and he was playing music and he was looking at something. And the elevator started giving sign, overload. One person should get down. One person. Nobody moved. The elevator was full. Nobody moved. The man that came in last just looked at the thing, just went, looked down again and pretended as if he didn't. Nobody moved. Nobody was ready to move. Nobody was ready to step down for others. Nobody. Because nobody wants to be better. Nobody wants others to be better than him. That's human nature. After a while, like eternity of waiting, and the elevator didn't go. Then a lady came out. And it happened to be someone who was on crutches. And others were not. She came out with crutches. She be told in back pain. Nigba to affair jade yet while the pain look crutches. Abi, will she go and climb stairs or wait again? Only one pain. They all followed the lift, and this woman came down with crutches. Prefer one another. That is practical Christian living. It is not because you are stupid. It is not because you are not wise. It is because you have the life of God in you. It is because you have the Spirit of God in you. Somebody say, I hear. Number 5, in verse 13, share what you have. If you like, don't share. I won't talk much about that. He that eats alone, dies alone. Eat it alone. Number 6, I will talk about this one. Rejoice with those who rejoice in verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. I will pause here again. I don't care if I stop here. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing. What did I say? Brother Paul, this is contrary to human nature. Human nature wants to be the one rejoicing. Are you following me? Everybody wants to be the one rejoicing. Want to be the one that others will come and rejoice with. In fact, some people are so proud and so self-centered. They are so self-centered that they want to be everything at every event. In a wedding, they want to be the bride or the groom. You are doing housewarming. They desire that the house is their own. They want to be the one warming house. Some even desire to be the cops during funeral. If I let Jamie not celebrate, right? We have lots of people who are demented in this age. Now, do you know why? It is contrary to human nature. Human nature does not want to rejoice with anybody. He wants to be the one. That is why your friend is getting married and you are sad. You are sad. We went to primary school together. We went to secondary school together. We went to university. Oh God. You now lock yourself. They say, won't you go for this person's wedding? I'm not in the mood. What changed your mood? Would you have been happier if she's not getting married also? Excuse me. Who told you? Did she marry your husband, join with her own? Did they tell you that now that your friend is getting married, he has your no more husband in the market, or he has married your own? Why don't you rejoice with those who are rejoicing? It's a way to attract the blessings of God into your life. In your time and moment of need, if you can rejoice with those who are celebrating, then your celebration will be nice. What you can't celebrate in others, your life can never attract. Life can't attract it if you can't celebrate it in others. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Somebody's miracle has happened. Celebrate. Praise God. Somebody, your friend, has built or is building a house. Don't pull down what he's building. Don't look at it and say, what nonsense is he building? If I even stole, he's doing yahoo yahoo. Go and do your own yahoo. If he's doing yahoo yahoo, do yahoo yahoo. He's a thief. Go and steal your own and don't be caught. Why do we use our mouth to destroy what others are doing? And do you know the reason why you don't celebrate others' achievement, you don't rejoice with them? It's because of your scarcity mentality. You have a scarcity mentality. You think these things cannot go round, that will not go round. So you are sad that it has happened for him. It doesn't affect your own. Your own will come. And you don't have to be in a hurry. I have told you before, four of us were very good friends in the university. We were four. Four. One of us, very calm. Very calm. I know I was not the one that was calm. I know the man. Kolagbaja. Calm. We graduated, went to the law school. We're close. In fact, this calm guy, it was his wig and guy. The guy is huge. Taller than me. Bigger than me. It was his wig and gown that I borrowed for my own culture to buy. December 15, 1993. I couldn't afford, so I borrowed his own. We're that close. 6 months after we're called to the bar, after we got back from youth service, beg your pardon, 6 months, he bought a car. And then I was pastoring a church, the branch of my church that I started in Lagos, the church that I pastored then. So he called me, Yemi, God has done it, I just bought a car. And I said, praise God. So he called me as a pastor and friend to dedicate the car. So I took anointing, well, I anointed the car. So one of our other friends, so three of us were closer now. 2 months after, this our friend now got married. He was the first to be married. He got married. Then, few months after, he bought another car. And he called me again to dedicate it. So our third friend now said, why is my friend buying car? I've not bought. Shebi wa do de gbati e. Then, some months after, about 6 months, this friend came to me. He drove to our church. Now, the church where I pastor, he likes to show that he's my friend, which is not wrong. But the manner in which he was showing it was, I was okay with it, but some few church members were not okay. He will stand at the gate. Yemi! Look, are you a member of this church? Please call your pastor. Call Yemi for me. So he of course, I was also a pastor of like 60 people. So, you know, call your pastor. So one person said, is there a pastor you're just talking? He said, he's my boy. Go and ask him where he's my boy. So he said, come. I don't even know what your church is. How many people was that pastoring? 60. He said, I don't know what your church is doing. Your friend bought car. He bought another one. I have bought my own. Come and dedicate it. You'll be dedicating car. You are the pastor. So I rejoiced with him and I dedicated the car. Less than a year after, this our second friend who bought two cars, called me and said, Yemi, we have to go to Alagma. Moniki na shembe. To bail our friend. It was his client's money he used to buy car. If you cannot rejoice with those who are rejoicing, you have a scarcity mentality, you will put your hand into mess because you want to match up. You want to feel among. You want to keep up with the Joneses. You want to be equal. Who are you proving points to? You don't have any point to prove. You want to get even with the person who is not even doing competition with you. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with somebody? Your friend bought a phone. Then you are now looking for money to buy. You will do stupid things. You will even steal. Don't go and buy a phone. Live your life. Live your life. Weep with those who are weeping. There are times bad things will happen. If anybody told you, now you just be born again, and when you get born again, nothing bad will happen. Everything will be smooth. There will be a smooth ride. You will enjoy prosperity. If you give your life to Christ, you will prosper. You will make it. Not only in this life will you make it. I'll tell you, you'll be operating up there. Yes. You will have. Yes. Yes. But that is not the truth. The truth is, bad things happen to good people. One like in Timothy. And it is the truth. You are born again, you are tongue talking. Build up your spiritual, mental, and emotional muscles. So when things happen, you brace up and get going. Hello. Brother Job lost his children, 10, at the same time. He didn't curse God. Horatio Spafford lost his 4 daughters in 1 accident. 4 daughters. Rather than curse God, he said, when peace like a river attend, he composed that song that we are all singing today. It is well, it is well. The man who composed that song lost 4 daughters in 1 accident, a shipwreck, and he was singing, it is well. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. Prepare your mind. Move on. What makes you different is what you do, how you respond to events of life. Events of life are common to everybody. If you read Matthew chapter 7 from verse 24 to 27, the man who built on the rock, who got born again, who is a child of God, rain fell, winds blew, everything against his house. The same thing that happened to the unbeliever happened to the believer. Okay, you are a Christian, you are speaking in tongues. Is it not the same market you are going to buy something with unbelievers? Did they get say, oh, okay, you are a Christian, you attend Lighthouse, okay, we will price your own down? Or do you go to the market and stand in front of the woman? How much is this? Or filling the petrol station, gas station, anyone you want to call it. I say, how much is petrol? They say 1,100 naira. He said, but I'm a member of Lighthouse. I'm just coming from the school of the spirit. And after school of the spirit, so, and I have the power of God in me. That's exousia. And then it's dunamis power. Now, by the power of God, self-fair for me. My own is 500 naira. Labor, masasa, meyada. Bad government happen to everybody, and good government happen to everybody. Be in one accord. That's number 8. Verse 16. Let's be united. For those who got married, we prayed for a unity. That our deaconess was praying for those who got married. We must be one. None of us is as strong as all of us. And it is teamwork that makes the dream work. Your dream can only work if you work as a team. Number 7, weep with those who weep. Number 8 is be in one accord. Number 9 is never look down on any. That is in verse number 16, I suppose. Verse 16. I have skipped this. Mind not high things. I'm coming back to that. I'm coming to that one. But never look down on any. Never look down. Condescend to men of low estate. That is condescend. Don't look down on people. What did I say? This one that you look down on people, I'm not your mate. You are not in my class. You are not. What class? Who put you in that class? Don't look down on anybody, because the man you look down on today may be the one that will help you tomorrow. Don't look down on any. Don't even look down on your subordinates. Life does turn. Things do turn. Somebody say that with me. Life does turn. Things do turn. Aye man yi ni igba man yi. You won't know a better yesterday. But the person you fed yesterday may be the one to help you tomorrow. I have seen it. I saw it clearly. somebody that lived with our uncle eventually was the one that helped the uncle. The uncle was begging her, please let me beg your husband, help me get me that contract. Help me beg your husband. Help me. She lived with him. He fed her. Now he's begging her. If he had mistreated me, mal, you want no more. If he had maltreated her or mistreated her, what would have happened? But of course, she was maltreated, but she forgave. And that's another point. But before I get there, let me move to number 10. Number 9, don't look down in any abyss. Read Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 4. Even Jesus did not look down. Oh, the Spirit. This is Zacchaeus. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Verse 2. We're going to verse 4. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was the chief among the publicans. That's one problem he had. Number verse 3. He sought to see Jesus. He could not because of the press, because he was of a little stature. This man had two problems. Number one, he had a problem of reputation. Somebody say reputation. He was a chief tax collector. In other words, he was a Roman agent. He was a Jew, but a Roman agent. He was collecting tax on behalf of the Roman government. And you are a Jew. Every Jew hated these tax collectors. You agree with me? They hated tax collectors because they saw them as sellouts. They have sold us out to the Romans. Sell out. Sell out. So, nearly, they hated him. The Romans also don't trust him. But caught here. He had a problem of reputation. That's one. He had another problem. He was short of stature. He had reputation problem. He had a problem that he didn't bring upon himself. There are times, you know, we bring some things on ourselves. He was a Roman government. What he brought, the reputation issue was his own problem. He won't look for wherever. But the stature, what can you do about your stature? Well, we are not going to say he was sure. We will just say he was a little height deficient or disadvantaged, you know. This man, everybody looked down on him for who he was and for what he was doing. A tax collector and a short man. But if you read on, this man wanted to see Jesus. He ran before and climbed onto a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Look at what happened in verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, where did Jesus look? The man everybody looked down on, Jesus looked up to him. He said, come down. Even Jesus did not look down on anybody. That's why he does not look down on any one of us. Or did he look down on you? Your character, your attitude? No. He does not look down. So don't look down on anybody. Number 10. Do not be vain. Don't be vain. But don't mind high things. In that same verse, don't mind up. I things. That's what the Bible says. What verse is that? Verse number 16. Mind not I things. Don't mind I things. Do not be vain. Some of us are so vain. The reason why some people are not yet married is because they are looking for a brother that will marry them and they will have their reception in the Titanic. You are vain. So vain. So vain. And it shows in the way you live your life. In the things you decorate yourself with. You are so vain. It is not bad to have many things if you have substance. If you have investment. But many without investment, without a future, got no future yet. And you are going about with the latest phone. Of over 1 million to about 2 million naira. You are too vain. You don't have, if you are working and you can afford those things, why not? You are working on a salary. You are not even minimum wage of 70K, which has not, I bet think that 40 shini. No, 70. 70, but what is it? Even if you earn 70,000, you have a car. How much fuel will you fill that car with in a month? Okay, you don't have a car. From your house to your place of work, how much is the transport fare? Choka. Coca. Then coca. You will eat at home. Then one more rapper, few more, 40,000 naira. Kina fishy. Kina fishy. That's vain. That's vain. Because I love to smell good, when my salary was 30,000 naira, you will never see me go back. There are very lovely, sweet smelling perfume of 2.5. What do I mean? What do I, you know? What? What? Only 1.5 go away, eh? What sorry, do I love fit pamas in the wardrobe, inside wardrobe, so that nobody will. Then you'll be. You cheat that. Who touched my perfume? Excuse me, I want to touch here. Oh, thing lol. Don't be too vain. Then the time now comes that you can afford it. Are you following me? The time comes that you can afford it. Then you buy. I don't even buy perfume. I get. And I have always told you, don't just be a getter. Be a giver also. A friend will always gift to me, buy perfume. The first time she gave me a perfume, and I went to check the price, so it was 120,000 naira. She will give. She kept giving. So I was also coming and said, what will I give me? And I have a problem. I don't know what to give. So we ask people, what do I ask? So I saw perfume also, women, £100. Someone who gifted me with $1,000. He said, you are traveling, just take this for, give me $1,000. Give this to your wife. So I said, let me buy a gift. £100. Hey, just open you. A woman, I said, come out for a you cannot give somebody something. You're just collecting. Give someone. Give someone who has been giving to you before this year is over. Go and give that person something, no matter how small. Even if it's just handkerchief, buy a pack of handkerchief, give to that person. I just want to take egg basa. Many of you are handkerchief. More family handkerchief. You know, I was just kidding. My time is up, and I shouldn't even say that. Don't be vain. Let me read Jeremiah chapter 45 verse 5 in the Message translation, Jeremiah 45 5, and Proverbs 30 verse 8 in the Passion translation. Jeremiah 45 verse 5, Message. And I'm doing it everywhere, all over the earth. So, forget about making any big plans for yourself. In other words, don't mind I things. Things are going to get worse before they get better. But don't worry, I'll keep you alive through the old business. The Authorized King James Version says, are you thinking about great things? He said, don't think of it. Don't think of great things. Are you making great plans? Don't make bogus. Don't be vain. That's what he's saying. Seekest out great things for yourself. Seek them not. Don't be vain. He's not saying don't make good plans. Don't be vain. Tell your neighbor for me, don't be vain. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 8. Passion translation. Passion. Proverbs chapter 30 verse number 8. You don't have Passion Translation Media? Ekpele. Go and get it. What did I say? Go and get it. The Passion Bible. I thought you have it too. That's why I didn't bother to. I said, my media, we. If you have opened your Passion, please, somebody help me read it there. I just want us to read this and close. While I'm still looking for my Bible Passion here. Have you found it? Anybody? Okay. I got mine. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 8. The Bible says, empty out of your heart everything that is false, every lie, every crooked thing. Give me neither undue poverty nor undue wealth. Rather, feed my soul with the next measure of prosperity that pleases you. Look at the next verse. May my satisfaction be found in you. May your satisfaction be found in God. Amen. And I said, don't let me be so rich that I don't need you. Some people are so rich that they don't need God. That's what it is. Don't make me be so rich that I don't need you and become vain. Don't make me so poor that I have to resort to dishonesty just to make ends meet. Because of this ash economy, some people have resorted to dishonesty. You put a girl in your shop, what is their shop they have? Dishonesty. Don't make me poor so that I will not resort to dishonest ways of making gain. Add instruction for practical living. Let me stop here and trust God for grace to be able to share this another time. Bow down your head. I want you to ask for grace this morning. I ask for grace, Lord Jesus. I ask for grace. Grace to live my life as a Christian. To live practically as a believer. Not to be a Christian by mouth only, by words of mouth. Give me grace to please you with my life, that your name may be honored and be glorified. Thank you, my Father. As you all bow our heads, you are here this morning, you have not given your life to Jesus. You have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Wherever you are seated, I want to be born again so I can be given the grace to live practically as a believer. I want you to lift up your right hand. I want to be born again. Lift up your right hand. If I see your hand, I'm going to pray with you. Pastor, pray with me. I want to be born again. Thank you, eternal God. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. I ask that God will give you the grace, the enablement to live your life practically as a believer. I pray that your life will please God. I pray that in every aspect you will be wise. You will live wisely, and God will be honored in you. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.